From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name's Carr. I'm with my BFF, Keon, and this guy, Topher
right
Scott.
Here.
Can you believe it, Keon?
I can't believe it.
I can believe it. Yeah, at? I see his flash. It's really right there, and not but not in this on this continent.
Yeah, where are you at, Keon? Are you in Austin?
I'm in Austin as where I normally am. You guys are in Bedford.
Yeah, we're in the great state of Bedford. It's amazing.
It's a state. They have states there.
It's a state. It might be a state. Is it a state? The audience is telling us no, it's not a state. Close enough. It feels like you're in another country. I mean, literally.
I mean, you are in another country. Oh, but you mean like within the UK, it feels like you're in another country.
Guess what happened this week? I got banned from a cab company. I'm no longer able to order cabs from one company. I'm completely banned. Apparently, if you call a cab here and you don't get in the cab that you called, you're done. There's no second chances in Bedford. Not with cab companies.
Oh, yeah. I think they're really serious about cab. Like, they have like this
mate,
incredible
where are you from,
tech.
Mate? Are you from the States, mate? Yes. Good luck getting another cab. I was like, geez. You can't screw them over on cabs. It's a whole thing.
Because they don't have Ubers, right? They don't do that there.
Yeah. Anyways.
Wow.
How was your week?
How was my week? Well, my week was boring relative to yours. You know, I was just, this is where I am all the time.
Your office is pretty.
You got a Zap locker.
Well, what did Joseph say? I do have a locker.
And you have like a million hats.
I do have a lot of hats. I mean, I go through them myself pretty fast. Stacker News.
Do you wear a new hat every day?
I could for a year. I could wear a new hat every day.
People are so upset with this show already. So we're like four Guinnesses in for the Stackers at home.
Cheers.
Okay.
Cheers. We have more coming. Ken, are you drinking?
Yes, I have a Pilsner.
Cheers.
Here.
How's,
cheers.
How's going at the lab? How's everything at the lab?
Everything's great. We got. The midnight crew here, who can't skip over the Atlantic. That's it's normal.
Really cryptic. What did you say? We have the midnight.
They can't skip over the Atlantic. You know you're across the pond. It's like a common phrase. I'm not.
Did anybody leave to Bitblock Boom?
Yeah, did anybody go to Bitblock Boom?
I think Austin went.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, because he's speaking.
Yeah.
Did Super come by the lab, or is he
speaking right now?
Oh, he's speaking right now?
Oh, cool. We're competing for time slots.
Hey, man.
Oh, Super's in back in Texas? Is that what I felt this morning when I woke up?
I mean, I think everybody the test net. I heard it. I felt it all the way over
tingle?
Here.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I just felt, like a little aroused. I don't know.
Oh, Lord.
I can't wait for him to burst.
If you've never seen
Kramer.
This, if you've never seen the show before, this is called Stacker News Live. We cover the top five posts in Bitcoin, or top five posts on the front page of Bitcoin every week on Stacker.news. It was a good week on the Stacker News, man. You can really feel how American Stacker News feels when you're in the UK. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that there was a lot of new people here, just in Bitcoin in general. So we need to spread the Stacker News gospel.
Yeah, I think so. We also created our own Stacker Proper Pub because turns out when the Stacker Saloon doesn't reset for the UK people, Keon, you're targeting one market here.
And there's a bit of a time difference.
There's a big time difference. So it turns out, like, I think the plebs here in the UK need their own proper pub, Keon.
Yeah, where's the UK stackers?
I think the plan is to have it not rotate and just be like a continuous thread, and not so it rotates at 5 a.m. in Texas. So,
thank you.
Yeah, it would be nice if it just didn't reset at all. And that way it wouldn't seem biased towards.
Yeah. Anyways, but it was a good time. People here in UK just really want you to drink beer. I've noticed. That's all they want you to do.
Yeah, I'm surprised that came to you. It's like you summoned it.
Oh, Teresa ordered. Yeah.
Same thing.
Cheers.
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 Okay, let's jump into the. Keon's like, these guys are just cheering. I can already hear the Stackers at home who are listening. So they're like, Darth is like, what is going on? not good. Darth, we're drinking with you. You said we're drinking with you. The first top story is, this is what a Bitcoin circular economy looks like. This is from Joe Nakamoto, April 6th, Bitcoin Boys, 27 comments, 13,000 sats. Keon, who is this guy? I've never seen him.
That's a lie. This is Joe Nakamoto. He's like a pretty, I don't know, probably one of the better known Bitcoin journalists, I would say. And he went to South Africa, Witland, South Africa, which is a pretty small town. I don't think he even mentioned how small the population is, but I think it's pretty small. But they, like, the majority of their businesses accept Bitcoin. And, you know, it's maybe perhaps like, on a per capita basis, the most Bitcoinized city in the world. I don't know. I don't know if that's actually true, but it did, you know, he did profile a bunch of Bitcoin accepting businesses, and a lot of them are accepting Lightning, and looked like quite a few of them were using Wallet of Satoshi actually. Anyway, it's a great little profile of the community. And then they talked to the person that set it up, the main person that was in charge of it. I forget his name. But he also describes how he did it, which that was like the most interesting part of the documentary for me. One of the things that I think you'd get a kick out of Carr, if you haven't watched it, was he said that they tried doing technical meetups at first and they just didn't work. And he said what people want instead is parties. So they started throwing Bitcoin parties, and that did a lot better. It got spread awareness better.
Yeah, that's what we did in 21, bro. So
give the people what they
get. The people what they want. Don't fight the. Anyway, what did you think of the post? Did you watch it?
I literally watched a 20-minute video in 10 minutes. I sped run it at 2x speed, and no, it seemed great. Like. I saw that there was one gentleman that had a brewery, and so it always seems like the people there were pretty high tech as it was, and it seemed like the perfect place to have a circular Bitcoin economy. So it seems like an amazing experiment.
Yeah,
I'd like to hear more about it.
I had a dinner with a gentleman last night. I don't want to dox him, but he was building in Africa. He's building some really large energy Bitcoin mining things in Africa. And he's backed by a lot of really great people in the space. And he was saying like that, God, he was showing me pictures of all the different sites and Africa just in general. And dude, it sounds like it's really happening there. It's like really happening there as far as like it's making its, because you've seen a bunch of shitcoiners coming through there, whether it was like Cardano or Ethereum, like they've all tried to take their bat at Africa. But I actually think Bitcoiners are actually bringing in, you know, these really good values, like people like Joe and like, I think it's finally happening, Keon.
Gladstein too,
right? Like, I think it's finally happening. I think Africa is finally becoming orange. Call me crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. There was a, who did a pod? I think it was Citadel Dispatch. They had a great, they had an episode with the, Manchakura founder, and he was describing the situation in Africa, and he said it's actually not as commonly used on the ground by normal people as you'd think, but he said it's getting used a lot to escape capital controls, so like import exports out of countries that have capital controls, and then I do know Gridless is doing a lot of mining in Africa, and how that's like electrifying Africa in a, you know, from a novel angle. And I think that's really cool too, but.
Yeah, because I think they're taking the approach of like a lot of this energy has to be built out regardless anyway. So in the meantime, you know, mine some Bitcoin. It makes a lot of sense. Yep. We had Siggy with the top comment. He said, always enjoy watching your adventures. Thanks for posting here on Stack News. Joe Nakamoto said they are Bitcoin with San on Twitter, and you could also find them on Oster. Yeah, Joe was actually the MC for the Bedford cheat code event. So
yeah, and he had a nice tan on stage.
That African tan. It said African tan. That's probably it. Yeah, it was really good. It was really good seeing this post. I haven't watched it yet, but maybe I'll watch it on the plane right back.
Yeah, it was cool, like seeing him MC the whole event and then going back and watching this video.
Can't get enough of Joe. He's good, man. He's really good. He's a real professional, Keon. He's unlike us. He's a real professional. Like a real professional.
Oh, I believe. I mean, I believe that. Yeah. Yeah.
The next top story is a prior. This is in parentheses for the podcast listeners. A lot of senior Bitcoin devs under FBI investigation, myself included, space question mark. This is from the IRID, April 11th, Bitcoin post, 22 comments, 8,011 sats. Major bummer. What are we talking about now, man? This is, we went from like really high hoping things, and now we have, we're being investigated by the FBI. What's going on, Keon?
Yeah. Yeah. This is from Antoine. This is how you say his name. I went and looked up the pronunciation after I butchered it a couple times on Stacker News Live. But this is from Antoine Riard, who recently stepped away from Bitcoin development in a number of posts that he shared on Stacker News. So I guess there are these invite only Bitcoin developer events that happen. I think on a yearly basis. There are no talks or anything. He even links to the website. I didn't even know they existed, but I'd heard of similar events before, like Satoshi's Roundtable.
Yeah.
Did you just submit something? The FBI is listening, by the way.
Oh, never mind. I never said anything. But yeah. Because it was the days leading up to TapConf, and I remember being at TapConf and seeing all the devs are there anyways. So I think that's what happens.
Wait, the FBI came in and like
no, the show because it's about the developers meeting at an event in Atlanta in the days before TapConf. So because they're all in TabConf anyways, they sort of like meet during TabConf or before TabConf. So it's like an event within an event.
Yeah, but you have to be a developer or I would imagine, right? Like a core dev to be there?
Yeah, I think it's invite only.
Yeah.
Seems neat to know.
Docs. Everybody's docs at this point. What's going on with this? It's like
it's an invite only event.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's an invite-only event where they like hack on Bitcoin, where they hack on protocol stuff together and do code review. But this specific post is about the one that happened in 2022, and apparently, as part of the FBI's investigation into recovering Luke Dasher's Bitcoin, which he, you know, announced he lost on Twitter a while ago. They asked the runners of the Core Dev conference they subpoenaed them for all the people that attended that event.
They subpoenaed Tidwell and all those people, Brian, everybody there.
No. They subpoenaed the Core Dev event, not TabConf.
Oh, not
TabConf. The Core Dev event happened around TabConf. It was specifically people who attended the Core Dev event.
Who told them
they were? Told what?
Who told the FBI who was in the room?
The FBI was in the room.
They asked who was in the room.
Who answered?
They were already there.
I know, but who answered that? Who answered that?
It was the person. It was one of the two people who organizes the event.
The not TabConf event. You're talking about the separate Bitcoin event.
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah. It wasn't that many people. It's something like, I think I said 22 people. The email went out. So the person who got the subpoena emailed everyone who attended the event and told them that they were subpoenaed and that they provided the FBI with this information. They provided them with their GitHub username, their first name, their last name, and their email address. Because that's what the FBI wanted more information.
For what?
But the person who was subpoenaed talked them back and so that they only had to give them those four items, And apparently they didn't really, according to the email here, it doesn't seem, and then Antoine's response, it doesn't seem like they actually, you know, disclosed why they needed the information. They just subpoenaed it.
Oh man, I have some opinions on this, but you guys go first. Keon, what do you think? Feel free to opt out if you don't want to say anything. Obviously, you don't want to get yourself in trouble, and you don't want to piss people off in the space. So, feel free to opt out to say anything.
Oh, I don't have any controversial point of view. I don't really have much of a point of view. I mean, there could be, you know, here in this case, there could be the FBI could have motives that aren't associated with Luke Dasher's loss of funds. And could just, you know, I think that's the suspicion. That's what a lot of people are suspecting, is that this is unrelated and the FBI just made it related. And so they found a way to, you know, get more information on Bitcoin protocol developers. And so they took the opportunity to do it. I'm not so sure that's the case. I think, it could be that the FBI had some kind of lead that Luke Dasher was, you know, maybe robbed, or Luke Dasher implied that it happened around the time of this event. And I don't know if the timing actually coincides, but yeah.
Feel free to opt out of talking about it if you don't want to.
I didn't know the FBI investigated boating accidents. When did that happen? Darth Coin posted a really cool flowchart that I was going through.
What does it say?
Has a crime been committed?
And what does it do?
And it's just a nice little flowchart. It tells you whether a crime's been committed.
And then the answer is no.
The answer is was there usually a victim? No.
Oh, unless was there a victim?
You deprive somebody of their property, liberty, or their life. Then a crime's been committed.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, fuck off.
So I think my biggest problem with this, and I'm going to come at it from a different angle because I think the FBI is missing the bigger picture here. So somebody like Uniswap, who got fined by the SEC this week, are okay to trade shitcoins, use that money for coke, use that money for hookers, use that money for conferences, and do all these crazy things, right? So Ethereum Foundation gives Hayden to go start Uniswap. It's $100,000 from Vitalik. He then uses this to create this shitcoin project called Uniswap, creates these Tikva tokens out of thin air. The FBI doesn't come near it, doesn't touch it, doesn't do any of these things. But yet, this guy just gets a fine, $20 million. He'll probably get a $20 million fine from the SEC for this stuff. 4 pints in, Keon. But the point I'm trying to get to is, why mess with Bitcoiners? Like, what is it about us? Or do they just have a hard-on for us? Do they just think, like, Orange Coin is bad? Like, I do not understand this. But yet, this guy, Hayden, can go and do all these amazing things and get away with these amazing atrocities, and no one touches him until like 5 years later. What is going on? Who are the people in charge? Why aren't they looking at this stuff? It makes no sense. It feels like Bitcoiners are being castrated into a little tiny bubble and being picked on for no other reason other than because we hate Orange Coin and Orange Coin is bad. Am I insane for thinking this? Am I off the rails? Have I had one too many pints of Guinness? Keon, tell me, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think your framing is right. I suspect there have been incidents like this in the other, like the shitcoin altcoin domain as well. So I don't think this is exclusively a Bitcoin thing, and they're going specifically after Bitcoiners.
Do you think the FBI?
What? You broke up. What did you say?
I said you think the FBI is coming after shitcoiners.
Yes.
No, but they're not. But I mean, that is mostly what I'm. They're coming after them in the same way they're coming after Bitcoin. They're no different to them. The idea that there's a distinction in the FBI's mind.
You can scam the world, Keon, and you'll get treated better because you're scamming the world, and it's okay. That's what I'm trying to say. This is just like a double standard.
Hey, gamer specs game.
I didn't say that.
I have a weird conspiracy theory about this.
Yeah, what's your conspiracy theory?
I think, so let's say Luke legit lost his money because he got hacked, and maybe legit because he was targeted during this event. And that's what they're investigating.
I don't know, man. It just seems that Bitcoin is continuously get blamed for uncalled for things, when in reality they should be looking at the crypto people. Because there's far, dude, I was in the crypto space. It's bad, dude. It's really bad. Like, go investigate them. It's really bad over there. It's bad, dude. It's not like Bitcoiners are some of the most nicest Christian people I've ever met in my life. Like, why are you investigating this? We're literally trying to save the world here. It's not the same culture. It's a totally different culture. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm a complete dumbass and I'm completely wrong. But go investigate the crypto space, man. Like, stay away from Tabcomp. Stay away from these devs. They're literally just geeking out over some really cool code. Like, I don't know. I'll get off the soapbox now.
Yeah, I don't think... it doesn't seem like they are generically investigating Bitcoiners. It seemed like they had perhaps specific reason to subpoena these people. I'm not saying it's justified subpoenaing them, but it seemed like they had motive. They had justification. They themselves had justified the subpoena, and a judge had signed off on issuing it. And so I don't know if it's like specific. It doesn't. I think it's a bit paranoid to assume that there's like specific targeting of Bitcoiners.
So Killian Boone said, this is the sort of post that should get Stacker News more eyeballs from the wider tech community and news. And then you said his name was Riard? Antoine Riard?
Antoine.
He goes, I'm not the one who shared the name of the Core Dev organizer who was apparently under the subpoena on Twitter or to medias from the public feeds that are available. So I guess multiple plausible recipients of the mails have reached out to journalists. From the private reports I have so far, the subpoena is more likely true than false. I don't know, man.
It's the FBI.
Post Bitcoin ETF, just, man. This is just weird.
It's just their way of saying hello.
It's really weird. And then we have Antoine said again, FBI budget less than $10 billion a year. Realistically, a lot of shitcoins have market caps just far above. Indeed, one should ask how American taxpayer is being used. There you go. They probably make more money investigating the crypto people, I would imagine, who actually are breaking laws. But what do I know?
Just hard. Well, I mean, the people who are investigating don't get paid as a result of their investigations. They, you know, they're like salary workers in a cheap suit, and that's kind of the way it goes. But it's not like they're incentivized to get the people who they can get the most money from or something. But maybe. Generically, the whole institution is. I don't know.
Yeah. It's sad that we have to cover this because we started so strong with Joe Nakamoto. And then here we are talking about this stuff. But hey, I don't get a vote on the top five every week. We're just covering what you guys voted on. That's why it sucks sometimes.
Oh, I think this deserves to be in the top five. I think it's really interesting. And it goes to show that if you are working in Bitcoin, you might want to take, or you're considering it, you might want to take better care. You know, sharing personal information and identifiable information as you go about your work in the space. I think that's the lesson here.
It's gonna be that's true.
Interesting TabConf 2023.
No, 2024.
Oh, yeah, 2024. Oh, so this was 2 years ago.
Yeah, this was 2 years ago. I didn't go to that one. Did you go to that one? You did go to that one.
I didn't.
Did you get the subpoena?
Did
you get the subpoena in 22?
I don't think I went in 22. Maybe I did.
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
Yes.
Where was that one?
In Atlanta.
Atlanta. Same place.
You didn't go to the
23. But isn't that big? Okay. I went to the 23 one. I spoke at the 23 one. Maybe I did go to the 22 one. I don't know. Maybe I was subpoenaed. I don't know. Maybe my information was part of a subpoena. I don't think it was. I didn't go to this specific event. I just went. I went to like the Pleb Dev conference.
All right. We're going to go into the next top story. Next top story is thoughts on Nosser from a creator's perspective. This is from Peter Pierdemin, April 9th, Nosser post. 13 comments, 9,471 cents. What is this?
Yeah, so Peter shared some music on Nostr and, you know, experienced the Zap culture.
Zap culture, yeah. Wait, are you there? He got stuck. Wait, did he get stuck? Oh, we lost internet.
We lost internet?
Yeah, we lost internet. This is what happens when you start talking about the FBI. Seriously. Exactly what happens.
Are you trying to connect to my network?
No. Mobile ship. Damn. Oh, dude,
were you on my...
Was that yours?
Did you like switch to my network and then my phone died?
Oh, hang on. Can we go to...
You should go to the HI Express.
Oh, my bad.
No, it's just weird that it did that.
All right, let's see. Oh, there he goes.
He's back on?
Yeah, he's back on now. All right, there you go, Keon. We haven't stopped recording, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just weird. As soon as we start talking about the FBI stuff.
We're being hacked.
As soon as everything goes off.
They're sending the internet
police.
This is,
no, this is normal, dude. Like, this is why you can't talk about this kind of stuff. Publicly.
No, I don't think so. I think it is. I think when you talk about the FBI all the time.
You think there's a total coincidence?
Yes. I don't think anyone I don't think anyone gives a shit about any of us.
They can take my free Wi-Fi, but they can't take my freedom.
We have an audience member. He said, whoever this other guy is, he's based as fuck. That's what he said. He just nodded. Okay, the next top story is thoughts on Anasir. Yeah, you already said this. What do you think? What do you got here, Keon?
Oh, I don't know if you guys went what you guys went over. Anyways, he experienced Appian for the first time and shared how it felt and like, you know, sort of had an experience of like how cool this is. The most memorable part for me was where he shares how important or significant it felt to earn 19 pounds, you know, 30,000 sats, given that he had never earned anything from the streaming platforms that his music is on. Like, it's not a significant amount of money, but for him, what he said it was is that someone cared enough to send him money for his music, even if it was a small amount. It was still, it's not nothing, which is what he would get otherwise. And so, yeah, big in not in a financial way, but big in another way. And so I thought that was really cool. And he, you know, I'm glad he came to share it and shared his experience. And I think did it in a way that, you know, I could encourage other people to do it too. And I hope to see more of this stuff. I think it's becoming a little more common now.
What do you think, Topher?
Well, so we were having an interesting conversation with Oscar today from Fountain.
Docs.
And so we were having this conversation, and one of the takeaways was that, you know, for larger content creators, Fountain isn't, at least not right now, they're not in a position really to compete because it's all based on ad revenue. So other platforms right now, they sort of have the market cornered on ad revenue. But for smaller content creators, like these small amounts do mean something to them. So it's really interesting to see how value for value is working in this way. And it's like, if anything, it's a signal. And I was reading this post a little bit and how he was talking about how even this small amount was more than he would ever earn through streaming, which is kind of interesting because it's like, if you think about it, then for streaming services, they're sort of motivated to show you things that are popular versus things that are new. And I've personally experienced this because I don't really rely on or name specific streaming services to really introduce me to things that are new. They're really more keen on introducing me to things that are popular. So I don't know. I really like this this testimonial, I guess, for value for value using Noster. And yeah, there's like no friction. So you can just set up your own account. You can have this presence online. People can zap you right away. You just essentially have these payment rails that are free for you that people can just send you money. And so I've seen this with a lot of other platforms too. Wavelake, he mentioned Wavelake as well, which is great. So it's really cool to see. So I'm really happy to have read this post.
Yeah, I think I've said this multiple times, but I think the only way we get full saturation when it comes to Bitcoin is going to be through music and the culture. That's where it always starts with any new technology. It'll happen again. It'll come through the music stuff, and you just kind of have to keep at it, and it'll take care of itself. For the stackers that are listening at home, Check out Wave Lake. There's a Rebound EP. This is his album. So definitely zap it. And yeah, support him. I've had like, I always have interesting conversations with musicians. I've had a few or maybe a handful of conversations with musicians on Thriller. And they're always like really informative because they look at it far differently than anybody else I've seen come into the space. Because usually traditional like TradFi people see Bitcoin the same way. And then you talk to like the average pleb who's like working at McDonald's and then jumps into Bitcoin. He looks at it the same way, like compared to. But then you talk to musicians and they look at every single one of them has a different take on Bitcoin and what it means to them. It's always just completely different for me. I always find that completely fascinating. So,
yeah, I had one thing to say in response to what Twitter said about what Oscar said, but Kevin shared his, Kevin Rook shared a related thought with me a long time ago, where he thinks a lot of what Lightning is doing is unlocking revenue for value that's created that's like below a certain threshold. Like, you know, like people who cross that threshold can get money from ads. They can get, you know, maybe Patreon subscribers, but below that, there was nothing for them before Lightning. And so that gap is kind of what Lightning is filling. And I think that's what Oscar's getting at. And I think that's what this artist is describing here. And I think there is something really, really true there.
Yeah. Oscar also said hi.
What's up?
It was good talking to him today. He had a lot to say. And too, big fan of Fountain, big fan of Oscar. It was cool. It was really good
seeing him. I'm loving his latest update. Yeah, we were talking about him before you left. I was hoping he would be there and you'd
get. Yeah, he was there. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, now that you doxed him, so it was great. It was great hanging out. Every time I talk to him, it's like we talk for like a good 45 an hour, and then we're just like locked in, and then we're good. it's really interesting. The next top story is Rant. Young people are getting terrible advice and it's destroying our culture. This is from Undisciplined Culture Territory Post. April 6th, 77 comments, 8,608 sats. Keon, what is this?
Yeah, I think a lot of us can identify with this particular rant, but it's describing the on-ramp for young adults into adulthood. And that's basically that defines the culture. And he's describing that on-ramp is turning young people in the wrong direction and therefore our culture in the wrong direction. And he lists, you kind of read the headings and just kind of see the topics that he's covering. But, you know, the idea that everyone should go off to college, the idea that people should be choosing college over a relationship with someone they have strong feelings toward. Having kids later than you might otherwise choose to, the whole romantic situation. I don't know how, I know so many young men who just aren't even bothering with dating. Do people even have a vision for what a good life is like? And then, you know, thoughts of the gender and how we're describing genders and their differences, and we're actually trying to avoid describing them as different, and even, you know, maybe explicitly saying that they're the same in every possible way and in more ways than they are. And, you know, he's just airing his frustrations with that. I think he articulates it very well, but it's a pretty, in my opinion, it's pretty typical of most people who are thinking about these things and not just accepting someone else's thoughts on them. I think a lot of people feel this way, especially if they live through a period of time where things weren't this way.
Yeah. What do you think, Tim?
When I read this, it sounds like a millennial rant, which is not to downplay it because it's a legitimate rant, but it's that same kind of rant. Like Cam was saying, it's like when you kind of have an idea of how things were before, now things are now, so you can see the clear downtrend. But what I'm interested in is like what Zoomers think, because Zoomers don't have that past experience. So how do they deal with it? And I don't know. I mean, I have my sources, which is like, you know, youngsters in my greater family. I don't think they really dwell on what they've lost because they don't really understand it. So they'll just like pivot and do something new. I feel like maybe there'll be like some sort of punk resurgence where they'll sort of reject everything that's happening and go with something completely different. So I don't know. I don't know like where this will go. To me and you and to Keon, like, yeah, it's just, we've all heard this story before. It's very depressing, but I don't know what'll come of it.
Yeah.
I think all we can do is sit back and watch.
Yeah. I don't have any thoughts on this, to be honest. Like, it's not something I think about. To be honest, I will say this. I do tend to listen more to people that are younger than me now than I've ever have in my entire life. And I do that purposely now because I tend to think people that are a lot younger than me understand the world a lot better than I do. And so that's why I listen to, like Pleb Poet or like Austin, people like that, because I feel like they understand. Jack, too. Jack's another guy. Sweeney, he's another guy, too. I feel like people understand the world. They understand the world a lot better than I do at this point. And that's why I'm just more coming from like want to learn kind of thing. So,
yeah. I think they probably understand the future better than you do, because they're the ones that are going to be making it. And yeah.
Cool. We all agree.
Yeah. Like we can see the things that they've lost, but we can't see the new things that they have on the horizon.
I would throw this to Pleb Poet, like write a post. Tell us what we're not seeing here. I mean, I think it's on them, honestly, because I don't remember. Well, I think I felt like I wrote for myself a lot in my 20s, but I don't know if I actually wrote for others or for people. I mean, I don't remember ever hearing people that were from Gen X. Like, what did they want to hear from, like, from the millennials, right? Like, I don't know if I ever heard that. But I'm telling you, as a millennial, I want to hear from, like, the Gen Zs and the people that are on like the line, the millennial line, I guess. So what do you call it? Like that zone. Because I just want to know what they know. Like maybe I'm just not seeing the world the same way they are. I know I'm not, but I'd like to understand.
I saw a 20 something wearing an Alice Cooper jacket today.
Mm.
So
bloodied Alice Cooper, or was it just like clean face Alice Cooper?
No, I wasn't literally wearing Alice Cooper get up, but just like on
the jacket. But the shirt, like, was it the bloody Alice? Yeah, was he in makeup or not?
No. It was just like the name.
Oh, cool.
Just the name.
There you go.
Yeah, maybe like our grandparents, or I guess our parents, that kind of went through this, and like they had all this music kind of define what they were going through. Maybe it'll get recycled.
I honestly think, like, and this is me maybe just being like kind of like a jerk or whatever, but I do think millennials are having to take the brunt of a lot of this stuff to like break through, to allow the people behind us to have a shot at the future. I do feel like that personally. I do feel like where we just have to like break through some of this BS that we've been dealt as millennials to allow the people behind us to come in and actually embrace it and actually take it to another level. So,
well, you and I disagree on this.
I don't know if Gen X felt like that. I don't know.
I think all generations do. I think that's the role of the generation. Again, it's like
that Gen X.
I know. Yeah. Your generation's special. I know. But like, they all feel that way.
What did Gen X live through?
I'd ask one of them. I don't, just the fact that you don't know what they lived through doesn't mean they didn't live through anything.
They didn't
live
through anything. I'm telling you, they didn't live through anything.
They lived through the shuttle crash.
Oh, they lived through a Discovery shuttle crash, apparently. That's it. They had
to deal with
Green Day. I mean, they go to what? Fluoride?
They had to deal with Green Day.
Well, anyways, I don't know.
Well, I mean, if this is the millennials' job, we're doing a terrible job of it.
Are we?
Yeah. I think we are. I think that's what this would indicate. If what's supposed to happen is we're supposed to help them and things are on the decline, and then it's our fault, isn't it? If that's our role. Well,
yeah, I'll take that. Do better, millennials.
Hey, what are we supposed to do?
I don't know, but we need to do more. Zoomers, write this rant. Tell us what we're doing wrong as millennials.
I think bitching about it is actually worth it, though, because it gives them a heads up.
Yeah.
They'll take whatever they can take from it and kind of like reinvent things in their own way.
No. I wonder, have you ever done a Zoomer, Millennial, Gen X poll to see do you know the diverse group of generations on here, Keon?
I think someone has done. I think Jimmy might have done a poll. I think it's predominantly millennial on Snapchat, which makes sense. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. The final top story is an inch deep and a mile wide. This is from Kepford, mostly harmless territory, April 8th. 33 comments, 9,251 sats. What is this?
This is Kepford describing, as a result of like a conversation he had with some friends, how people are not paying enough attention to really understand things deeply and are instead just like skimming the surface and kind of more or less accepting everything at face value. And everything that they can see the face of is, you know, full of shit mostly. So they don't really understand anything because most of what is just presented to you is a lie that someone's telling you for their own benefit. And that's like doing people a disservice, and that they should spend more time going deeper on things. He mentions in here influencers and how all of them have agendas and they're all biased, you know, and they are the face of so many points of view. And they are lying, or they usually have interests in making you think a certain way, even if they're not lying, they're at least biasing. Anyway, that's the content of that post.
What do you think? Did you read this post?
Yeah, I had kind of a meta reaction to this post because I was also speed running like the entire top five. So I was I was one of these people just like barely skimming over everything. But yeah, I mean, it's just the way that life is. It's just the way it shakes out. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's like stating the obvious, and I guess it's important to reiterate this every now and then.
This is where, like, yeah, I think I was telling you guys this the last time. Maybe I wasn't telling you this, Keon, but I feel like I've been in Bitcoin long enough to like I'm out of the matrix, right? And then I feel like there's another level of the matrix where you see everybody else and the games that they're playing. And I'm there now where I can see all the hands that are being dealt. And it's unfortunate because I can never go back to thinking the way I used to think as just a pleb watching from the sidelines. And it's not a bad thing or a good thing. I'm just saying it just sucks. So yeah, the world is like that, unfortunately, Kefford. And get used to it. We all do it. And some of your favorite podcasters do it. I'm doing it right now.
Are you in the room with the architect?
No, but no, it's not that. It's just like being able to see the man. I don't want to call this out. I'm not going to call it out. There's no point to. It's just that be aware whenever you're being pitched something and you're listening to somebody. There's an agenda being had there, and that's by design because it's a small world. And there's only so much Bitcoin to go around, and that's the game that's being played. I don't know, Keon. I'm five.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I don't like the presumption that the world is that way and it has to be that way. It's kind of like someone saying everyone steals, so I steal. It's okay.
I don't steal.
And you, I know, but we're talking. It's a metaphor for what we're talking about. We're talking about being consciously biased for your own personal gain. And I don't think everyone does that. And I don't think everyone is that way. Something else that Topher said that is like, this is the way the world is. I think this is the way the world is it's been this way for a long time, but it's been more this way for millennials. There's like more surface area of inches for millennials. Like, there's more faces to things. There's more information.
What do you mean by that?
That's true. Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, break it down for a pleb like me. What do you mean?
There's more. Well, the metaphor that Kepford is using is an inch wide, a mile deep, and the other side of that is an inch deep and a mile wide. And I think maybe for Gen X, it wasn't a mile wide. Maybe it was like, you know, half a mile wide. And for millennials, it's maybe a full mile wide. And it just gets wider because the width is like the share of information that's out there. Anyway, I'm taking the metaphor too far. But basically, like, we have too much information now. We have more information than any other generation did before. So it's harder to go deeper just because there's so many more distractions.
This is what I always go back to. This is a reoccurring theme that I always say. It's just like, stick to what you want to work on. Stick to what you want to create in the world. Stick to the good that you want to do. And just find your tribe and do it. Like, ignore the noise and keep building. That's it. That's it. That's all you need to do. Like, ignore all this stuff, Kepford. Like, mile wide, screw that. Focus on the inch. Inch deep, make that deeper. Go to 6 feet. You know? I don't know, man.
That's what it's supposed to say.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't read it. But,
yeah, maybe that is a big thing. Like, it's, there's this pressure to know everything.
No, you don't need to. No, just be an expertise in one thing. That's it, and people will find you. Yeah, it's interesting, Keon, that we do Pleb Lab, and like, there's been so many people that have reached out here recently, just wanting to know how we do it and how to do it, what to avoid. And I just, you know, I'm like you guys, free and open source, man. Figure out, I'll give you all the alpha I can, and hopefully it works for you. But like, you're not this brain, but you'll figure out your own way. You know. So it's just like, the information's out there. You just kind of got to go there and ask for it, but don't take all information in. If anything, exempt a lot of information, because all the information that you're getting is by design, and there's a reason for it, and there's an agenda. And the sooner you understand that, sooner you'll be better off, stackers. There's an agenda for everything. You see a tweet from a very famous influencer, there's a design by that. There's an agenda behind it. Don't fall into that trap. That's all I'm saying.
Pick your island to build your house on.
Yeah. The world's decentralizing. Embrace it. Let them centralize if they want to centralize, but embrace your decentralization. Anyways. Build your happiness, Keon.
All right. I'll do that. Right after this podcast.
Yeah. All right. That's all the top five stories of the week. We're going to jump into some AMAs and some meta stuff. Keon, what's this one? We got Vlad.
Yeah. Vlad is the founder of Kagi, which is a privacy-focused search engine, which is paid. They do not have ads, but instead you pay them a monthly fee, you know, kind of like you pay for your Netflix or whatever. And you get to use their search engine. As a result of this AMA, I've used Kagi before on like a trial basis, but I started paying for Kagi, and it's pretty awesome. I would recommend people give it a shot. They also accept Bitcoin.
Is this the one that Max, didn't Max write about this like last year or a year before or something about building a search engine? Does this fall in line with that or no?
It is a new search engine, and it does have different incentives, but Max was talking about paying, like, in some sense, search results themselves having values attributed to them.
Okay.
But Max is obsessed with search. Max actually, he's a huge, I know he's a huge fan of Kagi.
When I saw this, I haven't looked into it, but the first thing I thought of was like Max and his post from like a year ago or whatever. And I was like, dude, the guy was so early. But this is not that though.
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, it is related in the sense that Max sees Google falling at some point and is curious what replaces it.
100%. Cool. Yeah. Topher, what did you think of this one?
He asked me for an email address and I gave up. It's like, come on, bro.
Really?
He doesn't
use Lightning login. Like, come on, use NoStream, use Lightning login.
He said he doesn't verify the. They don't verify the email address, So you can just put in whatever one that you want. And then he says they do not store your searches either, even though you have an account. You don't store the searches. There's a subthread in here with Tony Giorgio, who asks him all these questions. Yeah.
Hey, does Tony ask it? Let me see. Where is it at?
So he doesn't confirm the email.
No.
Okay.
I don't see. Okay. Yeah. Tony said, "This is amazing. Thank you for what you do and for this as well. I think the main reason I haven't used Kaggy yet is because I'm turned off by trying all my searches to the same account." Yeah. Like, where's all this data going? Have you thought about pay per API call with Lightning or doing something similar with blind authentication tokens? There's a lot of things I believe Kaggy gets right, but I'm concerned about the private. Yeah. By security account. And then Vlad says, "We do not store searches. And we do not require a valid email address, and you can pay with Lightning already. Can you clarify what is the concern?" Tony said, "Good to know. Though the concern is that we have to trust that. Would prefer tech that we could verify searches. Would it be linked together?" Yeah, what does Tony mean by that? Like, what is he trying to say there? Is it because that there's this data that's going to Kaggy? And
email account, then they'll be able to tie searches together
with the IP address that
login. Well, at least with the email account, if you continue to use it.
Okay, but how do you get rid of, do you just wipe it every 30 days or something? Like, how do you get rid of it?
If they're not going to verify the email, then I guess you can sort of just make stuff up.
But is it a trust me, bro kind of thing, though, or?
Well, if he doesn't verify the email, then you can just make something up each and every time. But then that kind of also gets annoying. I don't know. I guess you can.
So how do you solve that, then?
Well, what Tony.
They describe it here.
Yeah. Paper search using Lightning. Which,
no one wants to do that, though. I don't want to keep scanning every time I'm searching something.
Well, yeah, that's a legitimate.
So Nostr Wallet connected then, or what?
Yeah, but then he probably doesn't want to deal with all that.
Oh, thank you.
If he doesn't verify the email, I mean, I feel like that's good enough.
It's pretty good, and I think that's probably better than what most people would expect. I think, but they said they are investigating blinded tokens for authentication, so that they know you're authenticated. Like, you send them a search request, they know you're authenticated and you've paid, but they don't know which account that search belongs to.
Oh, interesting. So you don't have
something
proof of destroy as far as the data.
Yeah. So you don't, basically there's no way that they can link a search result, like a search query, to a specific account with blind tokens. And so that's what they're investigating right now.
Cool, man. Yeah, bullish on that. Who's are they bootstrapped, or are they getting funded by anybody that we know?
Yeah, I asked him, and he said they're bootstrapped. He said they're 100% bootstrapped.
Wow, yeah. Good for him, man.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I started using it, and I set it as my default.
That makes me want to use it even more if it's bootstrapped. Like, I'm not even lying. Just the fact that he's not,
influenced. Yeah. Yeah. Incentives are.
But see, this is the thing that we always talk about. It's like, let these people breathe. Let them build the company. Let them find PMF. Like, it's just like these simple things. But, people with money just want to see it go up in flames a lot faster than it normally would take to go up in flames. Let it build the embers, Keon. Let the embers get there, and then you just slowly fan it, and then it just becomes a fire. That's all I'm saying.
Let the embers. Well, I think you're mostly describing like a stereotype of investors. I mean, it certainly, there's reason for the stereotype to exist, I think some investors can push companies the wrong way if the founder doesn't know how to push back, and that's bad. But I don't, but once the investors give you the money, it's kind of on the founder, and the good ones respect that. And so I don't think it's necessarily bad. It can be bad. All of that does, who invested in you does influence a lot of the decisions you make. Anyway, I found that really, really cool that they're bootstrapped. Also, yeah. The search results are better. Like, I had an A/B test where the day before I was searching for something rather esoteric, ultrasonic audio, where it's like directional audio.
Dude, I'm totally using this.
Huh?
I'm totally using this.
Yeah, and then I was searching for it on Google, couldn't find anything. And then I'm using Kaggy the next day, and I'm reminded that I wanted to find this thing, not realizing I'd switched to Kaggy. And then I go and Google it again, and boom, I get a bunch of search results of actual systems that I can buy that have.
Yeah, I'm totally using. I'm not. Yeah.
Can you open the website again?
Yeah.
I just noticed something. go down?
Yeah.
To the dog? Where's the dog?
He's right there.
Reminds me of Lycos. Do you remember Lycos?
Oh, back in the day, yeah.
Lycos, go get
it. Hey, man. Everything old comes new again. Hmm. Seems. I mean, look at this show. Yeah, good. Good one. This was a good one. Let's jump into the next AMA. Keon, what's this? Oh, PubKey. Nice. Was this who was this? Was it Thomas and Daniel or who?
Both.
Nice.
Yep, both of them. Yeah, so PubKey, if you guys don't know, is a they call it a Bitcoin cultural center. It's a you know, quote unquote dive bar that isn't, you know, it's more like styled like a dive bar, but it's not, which is like the, you know, what most people want of a dive bar. They want to feel as relaxed as if they're going into a rundown place, but to still have like all the amenities and experience of a nice place. Carr, I think you've actually been there, haven't you?
Yeah, we've both been there. They take Zeus.
You do.
Oh, okay. Well, they guys should talk about this and I should shut up. I haven't gone.
Oh, the PubKey?
Yeah,
that was great. It was very divey.
Yeah, it's the type of bar I love. Teresa, what did you think about it?
I thought it was great. I got to talk to Thomas today and just
docs, double docs, docs, and everybody today. but yeah, it was good though, right, PubKey?
Yeah, lots of Bitcoin paraphernalia everywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you know what you see on this, because it doesn't look like, it's really true, it does not look like a Bitcoiner bar.
And it's comfortable if you don't.
But then what you do see on the wall, like, totally would. Yeah, it's the right type of touch that you need. The Smash Burger, I think, if you go get the burger, if nothing else, it's like literally worth the trip. Is the burger?
If a you flight need, or a car drive?
Like, I would go back to New York for two things: to visit my friends at Wolf, and to go to PubKey. That's it. Nothing else. That's it. But the okay. Smash Burger is amazing.
Okay. So a short drive, like an hour long drive, it's worth going for an hour. Not a
for that burger. Get two burgers. A double. Yeah, it's so good, dude.
One for the drive home.
Yeah, I asked him that on the thing. I was like, "How good is this?" And he's like, "Yeah, we know." So he said here that they're actually making one in Philly, and then they're looking at
Austin
and San Francisco, and yeah, there should be more of these. I don't know. The biggest problem though is like, how are they going to translate the food? I think that's going to be tough. But the vibe, the everything else, totally. But the food's gonna be tough. I don't know, because the guy that they have there, who's the cook, who's like making all the food, he's like a renowned chef in New York that came over there. So it's gonna be tough.
They could train people. I mean, most of the job of like a renowned chef is the design of the food, and then you know you train.
We'll see, man, I don't know. And it was a really good burger. Did you have the burger? Mm-hmm. Did you think it was that good, or is it just me?
It was good.
I thought it was great.
I just like the atmosphere.
Yeah, the atmosphere was great. And what did you get?
The very incognito block clock.
The block clock too. Yeah. What did you think of it?
I thought there was something on the menu called a pigeon. I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Because they made this like overly expensive, fuzzy looking Bitcoin Muppet mascot, and you would eat these pigeon dogs, and I thought that was a real thing. So I got a hot dog, and the hot dog was really good.
Yeah.
It was like a fancy chili dog.
The other thing is, too, you don't know who you're going to run into there, Keon. So you'll meet some famous Bitcoiners. You might even meet some famous New Yorkers. So you get all sorts of people. Yeah.
There's some high-profile people.
High-profile people that go there, Keon.
Wait, so you met a famous person?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Who was it?
Kent Dawson.
Why not? They're not a Bitcoiner. They're normal famous.
We're a Bitcoiner, which is even
more. Oh.
Yeah. Anyways.
I think it's pretty obvious if you follow their social
media. Yeah, if you follow their social media, it's great. Okay. Cool, and I just want to bring up my top story of the week, which is Privacy is a Social Good by Jimmy Song. Did you see this one?
Yeah.
This was really good. This was a really good post by Jimmy. He talks about privacy and envy and resentment. Ooh. All these sins, centralized status games, conclusion. What did you think? Did you read this post at all?
I did not.
Did you read this post, Keon?
Yeah, I responded to it. I left a couple of comments. Let me see if I can go back in it. I didn't really refresh my memory. I mostly responded because he said something. He was mentioning how like a lack of privacy can leave people exposed to the feelings of resentment and envy. And that's like one reason that companies don't share salary information like visibly with everyone, is so that people don't have that envy and resentment among each other. Like back in the early 2010s, I saw a lot of companies that were trying to experiment with like putting in a spreadsheet everyone's salary so that they could see it. But most of the result of that, as far as I know, was that it made the organization somewhat unstable because people were kind of upset that they were getting paid less than someone else and they thought they were doing more work.
What's your take on this, Keon? I thought it was a very fascinating, I've never heard it explained this way. Maybe just because I'm just not thinking this way, but you know, Jimmy's been around for a long time. He's seen a lot of things shake out. Like, do you think there's, do you think being private about a lot of stuff is much better proactive stance as a Bitcoiner just because of what he talks about envy and jealousy and these other things?
I definitely think that exists. There's like that sales guru. I think it's like Zig Ziglar. It's like he says he never says that when someone asks him how he's doing, he always says he's doing great, because 90% of people don't care when he's doing bad, and the other 10% want you to do poorly. They'll be happy to hear that you're doing poorly. And it's just like it's like relatively natural thing for people to like kind of have this envious instinct. And so I think leaning on privacy is good. I think it does secure you from envy. It does secure you from resentment. Caused by your position. Yeah. I think whenever I hear someone who's not interested in privacy, I understand it's a lot of work and maybe people don't want to put in the work, but people who aren't interested in privacy, I think they're forgetting that you really only need privacy when someone wants to invade it. And the fact that you're not getting invaded right now doesn't mean that you won't need privacy later. And when your privacy is getting invaded later, you'll have wished you took the effort to be private in the present moment.
What do you think?
I don't know. I don't disagree, but I like Jimmy's take on things. He does seem to have a way to kind of step back and just have these observations.
Yeah, he's really good at that. I put on here, I was like, because he talks about too much clarity on the status of individuals in a group causes strife in the form of envy. This is not just for people at the bottom, whose envy of everyone above them is understandable, but also for those near the top, who likewise will envy people above them. And he talks about the disaffected people in this status game. And I told him, I was like, I was just being honest. I was like, this is especially true the longer I stay working in Bitcoin. It's something I am proactively trying to stop myself from doing, because those thoughts do come in my mind. But I do not remember feeling this way when I was working in the fiat space, Keon. I only feel like this has become more something that peeps in my mind working in Bitcoin. And I think it has to do with just being around money. Call me crazy. But overall, I think for me, like going to church helps me with a lot of this stuff, I think. Having a baseline there. And then I asked him, I was like, I'd be curious to know what he does to avoid these traps. Because I'm sure if he's writing about it, he's definitely thought about it and has these feelings. I think it's a normal human reaction. And he said that he has an episode coming up that inspired this post, and he'll dive into the exact topic, dealing with envy. So,
fun question. Yeah. Do you think this applies to companies that raise money?
100%. How could it not? You're looking at other peers in the ecosystem that you're totally. I think that's normal. I always try to default to, you know, being happy, like everything's good for Bitcoin kind of mentality. But yeah, it creeps up, dude. I think it's just a normal human reaction to be like, oh, you know, where's my due? Where's that kind of thing? Yeah. I don't know, Keon, do you think about that?
Keon's loaded. He doesn't think about that.
I'm so not loaded.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just being honest.
Oh.
All right, later, bro.
See you at the game.
Yes, we'll see you at the game.
I thought Carr's point was actually was good, that Bitcoin does, I think it does make people's status more visible than other domains. This is, you know, Carr will often say that Bitcoin is different than any other industry, and I'll disagree with him on nearly every, but I think on this specific point, he's actually, I do agree with him for, you know, for once. Yeah, it deserves a clap.
115 episodes where Keon actually agrees with Carr on one thing.
It's true. I do think Bitcoiners are more exposed to their status being visible naturally, just because their age in the space is indicative of their wealth by
this is
Bitcoin. Pass. Yeah,
speaker pass.
Yeah, are they on panels at conferences? Are they behind stage?
Attendee pass. No, it is a status game. Call it like it is.
I don't know if it's a status game. I just think it's more everything's a stat. Everything has a status game, but it is more the status game that's going on in Bitcoin is more visible because we have this money. Because everyone in the Bitcoin space presumably has this money that they're holding, and the longer they've been in Bitcoin, presumably the more Bitcoin they have, and so. You can just say, this person's been in Bitcoin this long, he has more Bitcoin than me, therefore he's higher up in the hierarchy.
Oh, interesting.
Without even having to look at like anything else with regard to them. So I do think it is different a little bit.
This is where I would say don't stay humble and don't stack sats. Stack Bitcoin, not sats. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking around. I think to your point, yeah, you're right. This is exactly what happens. It's a whole thing. And I don't think no one's the exception to it, but I love that Jimmy's talking about it. This is where Jimmy, gets the dice, throws it out there, and he says, and just out there for people to talk about. It's good to talk about.
Another great post.
I mean, Jimmy, dude, golly, he's right all the time. Keon, he's right all the time.
Probably not, but I think his takes are really strong.
Look at all the other people that are shilling eCash, right? Like from his generation, from his matrix version of Bitcoin. Like he came in at a specific time. I don't see him shilling eCash.
Well, you're saying he's right on that one point, but that doesn't mean he's right on every point he's ever made.
Like,
he probably wouldn't even say that himself. So that's why I'm not going to double tap.
So next time I see him, I'm sure you told me. But like when I think of like Parker or him, like those guys who when I look at them, I'm like they're just focused on Bitcoin, like entirely on Bitcoin only. And to me, that's always a signal that it's the right way to go. And it's unfortunate because you see a lot of other people that are doing the complete opposite of that. But then you see these two guys, Parker and Jimmy. And I'm not trying to single them out as like amazing individuals. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying they always, you know, do the same thing in it, and there's something to be said about that. It's very commendable. And when I see that, it's just always like a North Star for me when I see a post like this. It's like, of course Jimmy's talking about this before everybody else. Anyways. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a great post. Over. I had a few things in there. One of the other things that he said that I really liked was about how old you can observe how old money behaves. And old money will hide their wealth. There was a great. I watched a documentary called "Born Rich."
Are you looking at
me? No, I just said because in Dallas, there's some old money in Dallas.
It's old money doesn't talk about old money. They don't show off money. New money does.
There you go, Keon.
Yeah, and so that's what Jimmy says in here. There's a documentary I watched that's available on YouTube called "Born Rich," which is by one of the Johnson & Johnson heirs, like one of the young kids while he's in college, just thought he wants to do a documentary on the rich people, on like rich people and old rich people specifically. And it basically shows the inside of the community and exposes some of this stuff that they do not want to broadcast their wealth there because they know it breeds this kind of envy and that they can get attacked.
Wow. Yeah.
And not just, you know, socially, emotionally, but maybe physically in some cases as well. So
yeah, that's good. This is good. These are good conversations to be had on Stacker News. That was my, and then the last post was the Winklevoss twins just invested in a tiny Bitcoin soccer club. Did you hear about this, Gia? The real
bet
blowing up.
Oh man!
Literally, as soon as Carr gets into town, everything starts blowing up. You know, I hate to say it, man. You know, people say Carr is the what is
the
that
catalyst?
Guy? Hey,
like a catalyst for
Cardless.
I'm totally kidding. No, Peter, like, he went on stage and like had this whole speech. Dude, like, it's just amazing to see how, like, dude, Peter's such an amazing guy. And I'm not just saying this because we're at his town, but, like, dude, big heart, right? I mean, humongous heart. Very gracious man. Like, I don't think people realize this. Because you listen to his podcast or see his tweets, you think he's somebody completely different. No, dude, amazing heart. He really cares about his city, really cares about his town, really cares about the people. And he got the Winklevoss twins to invest $4.5 million into his Real Bedford football club.
Oh, I thought they had invested. I didn't only read the headline. I thought they had invested in another football club. I didn't realize they invested in his.
No, at the conference, yeah.
It's like one of the
Dude, he's like, so apparently, like, him trying to get Real Bedford to the Premier League is an impossible thing. And so, like, but he's, like, dead set on making it happen for his town. Dude, it's a fantastic story. Like, you always want to root for the underdog, you know? Like, I don't know. What do you think, Teresa? Yeah, she's just nodding her head, yeah.
I bet they're doing I hope they're recording a documentary for it. Because I know they're doing all those documentaries inflation. Yeah.
And then Danny too. Danny's just been done an amazing job.
I sat through a 45-minute conversation on the train about a gentleman from Wales talking about the football team from Wrexham.
Yeah, he kept saying, like, yeah, we're a hat from Wrexham.
Because Ryan Reynolds, who made a bunch of money off of his gin company and be an actor, like, he decided to buy a football club.
Yeah, yeah. And Peter calls him out. Peter calls him out. He's like, fuck Ryan Reynolds. If Deadpool can do it, I can do it. It was the best line ever. He's like, if Deadpool can do it, I can do it. I'm Peter fucking McCormick. I was like, I love this. Like, how do you not want to root for a guy like that?
The best part of it all was how much he emphasized, like, because it was a packed house.
Oh, yeah, where we were at. Totally.
And he emphasized everyone's, like, gentlemen, Bedford just does not have the infrastructure to get all of you to the game. So make sure you show up on time tomorrow. We have the bus schedules laid out. Yeah. You have to get on the bus. We just don't have enough taxis for everybody.
Oh, man, dude.
It was so great how, like, they're just not prepared. They're not prepared for this money.
It was great, dude.
Oh,
yeah, they finished the conference off with Mahlers. Mahlers chimed in on the whole Sailor Odell fight. It was great. Like, it was really good stuff.
Oh, the Mahlers.
What did he say?
And it's really cool because, like, Mahlers actually, like, he came out on stage and, like, answered that question.
He did really well with that.
Yeah, dude. He just, like, I think it really shows you, like, Andre and him, like, really understand the Lightning ecosystem really, really well because they were there from the very beginning. And it was good to hear his thoughts on it because he kind of set the, I don't know, what would you say?
I think he set the tone exactly, which is, it's just like, if you're developing in Lightning, there's so much noise on Twitter where you just can only roll your eyes because the conversation is so off base from reality that there really is nothing for you to say.
Yeah.
And that's kind of was his reactions. Like, he doesn't know what to say to it because it's just so off base.
Yeah. It was good.
What was off base? Odell's accusation was off base or Saylor's
just the whole conversation of ossification. It's the whole conversation. It's like ossification of the protocol. Lightning has trouble scaling. It's just all these questions that sort of like float out there on Twitter. And then, you know, there's a lot of people on there that want to know more about Bitcoin but don't know. They're not technically educated. Because how can you be? It's like literally a fucking cryptography protocol out of nowhere. But then there's so much noise out there that leads people astray in all these weird directions and weird narratives. That as a developer, it's just like, well, none of this is even remotely true. So, like, where do we even go from there?
Yeah.
And I feel like he handled that very eloquently, the way that he responded.
Yeah, Peter, like, asked him the right question. It just goes back to show, like how Mahlers really is a leader when it comes to, like, this ecosystem and how he thinks about it. And and like Andre's another guy too where like I'll listen to it and be like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it's not because they're just right, it's because they've been at it a lot longer than a lot of us. And it was good to hear, like, me just like I'm not even doing anything in the Lightning space, right? I'm just But like, it was good to like see his, hear his take on it. I don't know. You're building the lining space.
No, he had a perfect take. Yeah. I couldn't have said anything.
Yeah. Anyways, it was good. You would enjoy it, Kia. You would have enjoyed it.
I'm sure I would. I'm sure. It sounds like the right position to have on it is that maybe the reality online is distorted. Maybe it's not actually reality.
Yeah. And he didn't pick online. A side between like the two guys. He just said what his truth was, you know, which was, I thought was really good. We're going to jump into Million Set Madness. You see this, Keon?
Oh, right. Million Set Madness. I'm aware of that.
I think I went from 20 something the other day to like literally I'm at the bottom again. You know, what's going on? What's going on with the algo, bro?
I mean, when's the last time you did things that were valuable? I don't know. It's the same algorithm that we used on daily rewards. But it's getting accumulated over the month. So if you're not contributing and other people are, then you'll fall in the rankings. If you're concerned about it, I would contribute more. If you're not concerned about it, I just would, you know, have fun. I tend to not look at it.
Chip, 43. I'm 45. Never mind. That looks about right.
Yeah, Jimmy's in the top five. You shared one of Jimmy's stories. He was like in the top, I think, top 15 or something.
I think it's, I also have noticed, like, dude, like being away from Austin, like Stacker News really is my only, only way to understand Austin, I guess. It's weird. Is that weird?
No, I think that makes sense.
Texas site. Across the pond, yeah. Just telling you. What do you think?
It could be.
Balloon give that away?
I don't know. It just feels like really ingrained in Austin, like from this side of the pond. I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, but I don't know how like Darth and these other people from across the world view it. But I'd be interested to know.
I think there's a missed opportunity for Keon to sell cowboy hats. But totally. He's already too invested in the other hats.
Yeah, I have two. I got to get rid of my normal hat, my trucker hats, and then
we're
gonna start selling cowboy hats.
We're gonna jump into the top stackers. Everybody's hiding. What's the point? Jump into the top cowboys, the most boring segment in Bitcoin. KR, what do you know? Another KR segment.
How does he do it?
He's just stoic. He remains stoic. Checks in every day. Take a day off, KR. That's all I'm saying. Take a day off. Don't let this guy drive. He will chain you. Look at me. I'm in Bedford still doing the show. KR, take a day off. That's all I'm saying. You got anything to say to that, Keon?
I've responded enough times on previous episodes to your accusations of me chaining you to a desk. And I...
Quit putting him down. Quit overworking KR. Leave him alone, Keon.
I do leave him alone. We have one meeting a week. He wants to have the meeting that we have once a week. And
blow this guy off. Don't let him blow you off. You blow him off, KR. Anyways, EK, number 14.
Wow, he fell, huh? He must have gone. Oh, no, he's had 182 days. Wow, it's just really that competitive. That's crazy.
Blockchain boot. Okay. Cool. That's everything there. We got any comments? We got one from Caesar. He said, go, go, go. Whatever that means.
I think it means go.
Yeah. Dion, what are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing this weekend? Gosh, I should have a better answer to this. I don't know. I've been setting up a dev chat for all the Stacker News open source contributors. So what I've been doing.
Is that Albie's book or what?
The what?
Oh, wait, Caesar just said, I meant Russ. There you go.
Oh, okay. I've talked to Caesar before. He's a Russ dev. I've been setting up a dedicated dev chat and we're like self-hosting it and it's like end-to-end encrypted and stuff. I'm trying to get us like our own little dev area where we can collaborate better. So that's most. I'll probably refine that and maybe do a little more work, but nothing exciting. I wish there was something exciting, but I don't have anything. You guys are going to be partying, right? Drinking lots of Guinnesses.
We got Tennessee Stackers at Stack Sats and Stay Humble. That's probably Odell. What's up, Odell?
I don't think that's Odell. Odell isn't.
We got
Odell's no sir only.
He says, I'm preparing my first open source contribution. He goes, I want to make an embeddable post in third party. What does he mean by that? What does that mean? Talk English, I say, Zar.
That's one of the things that you asked for. Like, a few months after Stacker News started. I mean, you don't even know what it is yet, but
like
a few months after
Stacker. It's basically Quora.
Well, not like Quora. It's more like, you know, like Discuss.
Wow.
Like that. That's what he's saying he might want to do. Or maybe he's saying that he wants to do like Quora.
And Tennessee Stacker says he's not Odell.
All lies. It's all caps.
That's total lie. It's all caps. Odell, I salute you, sir. Good to see you back on the stream. Wow, that's crazy. That is totally Odell. Totally is. I'm going to message him right after this and be like, hey, I see you, bro. He's a fan, man. He's come on Stacker News many times. Stackers don't know this. Go roll back. Roll back.
That was before.
That was like episode 50 something. Go back. There, Odell made a cameo. He's a big fan of Stacker News. He just can't say it publicly. Just can't say it publicly. That's it. Anyways, Caesar, make that. We need that. We definitely need that, especially in Bitcoin. Try to get it working with Nosser and Stacker News, I would say. Figure out how to do the cross post with it. It'd be beneficial to everybody.
Embeddable comments. It wasn't embeddable, but there was a site called Gab that did something like that. They had this extension called, I don't remember the name. But yeah, essentially added a comment section to every website on the internet. It's kind of interesting. But
interesting.
That's a cool thing to do. Yeah, it's like you can annotate the web. I think that's what Yeah, I think so. I think some of the there are some Nostr products. There's another developer that I like. I like nearly everything he does. And he made a great Nostr comment thing. I'm not remembering the name, but yeah, they're out there.
Yeah, I would say if whatever you're building on Stacker News, make sure you cross post to Nostr. I would say at this point. It's only going to help everybody at the same time.
Who's going to be the brave soul that converts Stacker News to TypeScript?
I don't know. dev question?
During our hiring trial, we had two people in the hiring trial who proposed it independently. They didn't know the other proposed it. And I was, I basically told them if they join full time, they can begin to migrate some of the code that they're working on to TypeScript if they want to. Really? We could have, if they want to, they can their own code. They can begin to migrate, but I'm personally not going to ride in it.
Topher, what are you doing this weekend?
Getting drunk and watching football.
Heck yeah,
dude! We went to Edinburgh. We stopped in Edinburgh, and like literally, every place we went to was an amazing pub. We dropped some photos in the internal chat, but dude, it was an amazing time, Keon. Apparently they have this place called the World's End. So we're gonna go back on Sunday or wait, Monday?
Yeah, Monday, yeah.
Go back on Monday and try to find the World's End.
I think they made a movie about it.
They made a movie about
they
it.
They did.
And the world was like literally
in Yeah, it. We're gonna go right now and get some food just Teresa's hungry. So
okay.
Figure that out.
All right.
But Keon, I'll see you next week. Hey, buddy, don't miss me that much, man. That's all I'm saying. Car's coming back. Yeah.
I'll deal with that. I have one of those like sleeping pillows, those body pillows. And that's all I'm doing. It's a double.
How lonely is it without Car over there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like people are getting work done here. They're
wow, really? I don't bother y'all at all.
Yeah. I know. I'm just
finally. Oh, so we're finally seeing some shipping that's going on.
Okay. Yeah, it turns out you're the boss. You're the big boss.
Not shipping coming in. It's more shipping going out now. Okay, that's good to see because you guys order a lot of packages. That's all I'm saying. A lot of shipping coming in. A lot of shipping going out.
Okay. Fair.
Fair. All right. Yeah, it's been fun, Stackers.
It's been a lot of fun.
You go out this weekend, you find yourself a soccer team, and you invest in it. Somehow. By crook or by, what is that? What is
by
that
hook said? Or by crook.
By hook or by crook. You invest in a team. Yeah. Go find them. Little League, Baseball League, NBA League, whatever it is.
Root what? For
do real. It.
Six Guinnesses.
Six now? I thought you started at like four, didn't you? Have you had two while we're on this call? Yeah. All right.
Hey, man, we're having a good time. We're celebrating cheat code. We got one more. Football, not soccer. Oh, get out of here. Get out of here. Okay.
Yeah. Have fun, guys.
Backers.
Zap.